Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. And the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers.
Totally.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase, today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub. shopify.com/bookclub.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Celebrity Book Club.
You fucking dirty psychopath bitch who I want to fuck.
You love me because I'm fucking crazy, don't you?
I literally do. Because actually, like, I only get turned on lately when something's really fucking crazy.
Dude, the second I first saw you when we were in the locker room after playing C-team basketball and I saw your massive fucking cock and your one huge ball and your other weirdly kind of deformed ball because you had some, like, disease as a kid, but that's totally chill. I was like, this dude is so fucking awesome. I'm so jealous of his huge dick.
Yeah, I think my dad fucked my mom so hard that my balls are deformed because he kept on fucking her while she was pregnant.
Dude, pass me some more cheese doodles. I want to jack off so hard my dick turns orange.
Dude, if you can suck on my dick for the entirety of Braveheart, I'll reward you by letting you sleep in my bed with me, ass to ass, no boxers on.
Dude, that's the gayest fucking shit I've ever heard in my life. And yes, I will do it because I say yes to every dare. But first, I'm going to splooge across the room. Like I promise.
Hold on, let me get my sister and bring her in the room so she can watch us.
Dude, no, not your sister. I've had a crush on her since I was an infant. And by infant, I mean in my mom's womb. Yeah, that's right. I was in my mom's pussy once.
Isn't that so fucking crazy? Like, do you ever just think of that, my dude? Like,
dude, I think about it every day.
It's like,
just think about it, dude. Like, your mom spent like 12 hours in labor. Your dad's never been in and out of your mom's pussy for that long. All right, let's just jack off.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's Bellini. It's Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed.
Celebrity Book Club.
Say it loud and proud.
Celebrity Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hey, best friend. How the hell are you?
I am doing magnifico.
Yeah, what a week.
Oh my God, what a week.
And to all our listeners out there, I know this can be a really tough time of year. It's March, I believe.
No, it's March and everyone thinks it's spring and they're like, yeah, I'm going to pull out my leather jacket.
The Ides of March, anyone? Some say it's the perfect weather, but some say not yet.
Well, I actually think it's some of the most confusing times to dress.
Oh, for sure.
And it's triggering as someone who has ADD because like I get really confused and I get really excited about my t-shirts. But then I'm like, oh, well, you can't just do t-shirts. So then am I doing t-shirt and a winter jacket? Well, that's kind of weird. So it's actually about the art of layering.
Yeah. The art of layering is coming into play in a big way right now, I will say, because of the sort of like permanently unsustainable warmth and like global warming. Seasons being over. I was a little bit relieved that I actually didn't have to even wear a sweater, that I knew I could wear my new leather jacket, which is my entire personality now, with a button down and be like, I can keep this on all night and not be hot.
What's so crazy is I've been watching you come into the studio for the past 2 weeks, kind of like forcing the leather jacket into play before the season is ready for you. But I knew you were so excited and I wasn't going to dampen your...
Right, no, like Punxsutawney Phil found dead. I am Bill de Blasio. I dropped him.
And you were being so like button-down shirt, sweater, other sweater, leather jacket. Now, when I put my leather jacket on today, I was like, wait, but I can't just wear the short sleeve. And then I was putting on and I was like, literally, I'm going to walk in and Steven's going to be like, oh, you're copying me because you're wearing your leather jacket. Even though I know in my heart of hearts, I got my leather jacket in August.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Please. I would kill for you to ask me a personal question.
And I think I know the answer because I'm actually remembering a jacket now. But you had a leather jacket in high school, right? It was that brown leather jacket.
You know, I actually had a leather
jacket.
Was
that college?
It was college. I had the, and it was like the flight pilot Air Force.
Okay, so here's what's actually going to blow your mind is that I think I had a leather jacket before you. Because I had a red leather jacket that I got from Planet Thrift in Harvard Square. Or what's it called? Is that called Planet Thrift?
Planet Aid. Fuck yeah.
And it was like very like Michael Jackson.
Now I remember your leather jacket. Like, it was kind of like burgundy. And like, again, I feel like looking back, I'm like, was it Leia Remini?
No, it was Leia Remini vibes. It was very Rizzoli and Isles.
Speaking of the past in 2015.
Speaking of people who know each other from high school, us. Yeah. People who are also sort of eternally trapped in high school. You know him.
You know him by his controversial,
10 years ago,
wildly popular meme account.
You know him from this wine he invented that was called White Girl Rosé, and then I guess they changed the name to Babe Rosé to be, like, more inclusive.
Yeah, and I think they were, like, maybe White Girl Rosé was, like, too much relying on this joke, and people were, like, less to buy it than just, like, Babe Rosé.
Yeah, and I mean, too much relying on the joke is an interesting way to describe this person who basically, I think, has fallen off the face of the earth. He has not been seen in at least two years. But his era was definitely, like, early 2010s. Is when
2011.
He sort of peaked.
2012. 2013.
He was early into the viral game, but then didn't necessarily sustain virality.
You know him. You probably don't love him.
Yeah. Of course, we're talking about none other than the New York icon, the Fat Jew.
And his book, Money, Pizza, Respect.
It's so crazy. So I found this book at a thrift store. And I found it, and the cover is him pretending to be the Steve Jobs book cover. So it's a black and white photo.
Black shirt, glasses.
He's staring, contemplating into the camera, and he has this sort of trademark, like, shaved head, and
his hair is so disgusting.
A ponytail that he was, like, doing, like, as a joke. His whole life is, like, you know, in kind of a post-Jackets way, being like, everything I do is a joke. So he has this kind of, like, monk-like shaved head with ponytail that sticks straight up.
Oh, and by the way, the back of the book is a nude drawing of him wearing slip-ons, it looks like, maybe.
With a dog covering his dick. He's smoking a cigarette.
So fucking dope. And again, the hair.
And I found this book, and I tweeted a photo of it, and I said, this feels like unearthing a Dead Sea Scroll. Because it really felt, even though, like, this book is actually from 2015, which is, maybe we say that word, we're like, oh, that's not that long ago. It feels like another universe.
I was going to say, this is so pre-Trumpian.
It's so pre-Trump.
It's like so Obama era when you could kind of be like, it doesn't matter because like Obama's president. So I can be like, actually, this Asian dude is shitting balls in my face with a tranny hooker.
Right. And it was so.
So it's kind of like pre what we're calling the woke.
Pre the woke movement. It's pre-woke. And it's because it's not like this book. I would say this book is certainly not like anti-woke. He's very libtard of his day. But it's more like. It's just, there's just
it's
this
a, like,
kind of like
middle school.
Adam Sandler.
It's the men that
Lonely
Adam
Island,
Sandler
Andy
birthed.
Samberg. Like, it's this whole generation of just like kind of like doofy, goofy, like, I guess, but Jackass was way more like actually, you know,
that
badass and a little
like,
more punk and like
it was
alcoholic.
Like punk and came from just like fucking like shows. This is more like the generation of like boys who grew up on like, hip-hop?
It's mommy's special boys. It's white
and
guys
SNL,
who like... Yeah.
And like Domino's.
It's white guys who love Migos and Domino's, absolutely.
And like also white guys who like love hip-hop so much, but still also like think kind of like hip-hop is the funniest thing.
And it's like, and it's Harold and Kumar, and it's weed.
Stoner culture, it's
stoner
weed.
Because then, but then sometimes I'm like, have we, I feel like maybe we actually haven't evolved from that. Like reading, because there's one scene in this book. So if you have the hard copy of this book.
Oh, and by the way, where did I get this book? I took it out from a library in the closest Hasidic neighborhood closest to me, the Borough Park Library.
Was there a lot of fat Jews at the library, really?
Wait, there was two women. She was like, so what'd you get for lunch? She was like, quesadilla.
These are workers at the library?
Yeah, she goes, so what was in it? The regular stuff or other stuff?
Wait,
and she was like, you know, other. She was like, honestly, I can't remember. She was like, but there was other stuff. She was like, I just like the usual, you know, the cheese, the chicken. And I feel like she kept on like kind of actually being so, what does she eat? Like was pushing for like what else was in this mysterious like
kosher girl. Was like, girl, no, tell me what's in this quesadilla. Are we talking onions? And she's like, it's really regular. Okay.
It's usual. Regular. Okay.
Regular.
Saturday at the Borough Park Library. I get my regular quesadilla. I sit. I go back sorting.
But so there's this scene that's, there's a comic book where he's like, yeah, what if the fat Jew went back and time traveled in a magic taxi cab that Samuel L. Jackson is the driver of? It's like the most like cringe thing you could possibly imagine. And he's like, and I go back in time and I stop terrible things from happening. Like, yeah, I stopped the invention of Bono. It's so like, what's embarrassing? You two.
Yeah, sorry. The rock music that your weird uncle is listening to.
And so there's this list of all the things he's trying to go back in time. So he like goes to Ireland with Samuel L. Jackson and prevents Bono's parents from having sex. And so there's this list of the things that he's trying to stop. White dudes with dreads, The Bachelor, Zima, unicycles, Bono, PT Cruiser, monogamy, Texas.
It's kind of this like midpoint, which I guess is 2015 culture, where it's like he's still making fun of PT Cruisers.
But I feel like today.
But then he's also being so like, I'm sorry, Texas.
Yeah, because I feel like, honestly, that list is, besides U2, who I do think is like universally beloved because of like the Sphere now, I feel like people yeah. like, that list is a little bit like still what is generally accepted of people just being like, oh, this stuff is so lame. I hate white guys with dreads and I hate Texas. And The Bachelor is totally like, is total trash TV.
Actually.
And like, yes, the PT Cruiser became the Kia Soul, became like the Nissan Leaf, but like it's still
no
kind
one's
of
making
a,
fun of
still,
the Nissan Leaf.
Maybe not in your circles.
No, I would actually, it's Texas, whatever, Nissan Leaf, U2, but like now people don't really make fun of The Bachelor anymore. I feel like there's now such an adoration for reality TV because it's so like, actually, like I'm a scientist of The Bachelor and people are a little more just like, I'm addicted and that is our culture.
It has.
It's more rare now for the person
to be like.
There's
been enough think pieces that people all think, like people think reality TV is like a fascinating.
Amazing and fascinating study of our culture.
Yeah.
And he is definitely so like, Yeah, I made a met up with a chick and all she wanted to talk about was reality TV. And I'm like, snooze, show me your boobies.
Okay, but here, okay. And actually, there's something right about this too, because I think Zima
is so 90s to make
fun of. It's so 90s to make fun of Zima. But I think the Zima of today maybe is White Claw, and people right. actually like, they make are fun. Making fun of White Claw, but they're also ironically embracing the basicness of White Claw. And I think like, okay, I think the difference is that he also helped usher in an ironic embrace of basicness with yes. White Girl Rosé, and right. like, which now is Babe Rosé.
And I've had Babe Rosé.
And it's good?
I mean, it was just like the most basic White Girl Rosé. It's just like kind of sweet, but it's actually not like, it's not too horrible.
I feel like it's like a little metallic. Like I
it's definitely it. Like disgusting and I would never buy it. But right. in terms of like nasty rosés, I feel like I've had in probably 2012.
Like way sweeter rosés.
That were just like, oh, like sweet and like metal.
Yeah, super plasticky.
Buttery.
Yeah.
God, the rosé craze.
The rosé craze, I guess, died down. And maybe that's also partially why his star
he's missing.
Faded. So if you guys will indulge us, I guess we can just kind of hop into this book a little
yeah,
bit. So it starts out, and again, there's kind of a meta through line to the book where he continues to talk about the fact that he got a book deal and he's like trying to fill the pages.
And his whole like thing.
And I think that there was a lot of pressure on him also at the time because it was like, can a meme artist, Instagram, like, could not make a book? And now it's almost the reverse where it's like, if you are a writer, you have to have an Instagram in order to support your writing career.
But at the beginning, he's like, he gets a book deal and he's doing this thing of just like, I'm just such a fucking like dirtbag, like fuck up, like nasty bitch. So like, I don't believe in myself to write a book. So and he's always been like, I had the craziest night of my life.
And it's always just like, yeah, me and my three best friends did a ton of coke and weed and shrooms.
Yeah, and then we went to another location, which I feel like we've said before in this pod, when people talk about crazy nights, all it means is you're going
to multiple locations. Usually maybe two.
Two. So. And gotta give it to him, though. At the beginning of this book, he starts out and he is at Julius.
A gay bar, which she describes. She's like, it's a gay bar for fucking gay guys who like sports and can totally beat you up. And you're like, absolutely
that's
not.
That's not true. It's like, maybe it's like for older gay guys who are like not watching sports, but
yeah,
like maybe are a little heavier.
And like a lot of like 29-year-old faggots.
Defining 29. And so he's like, yeah, we fucking pound whiskeys. And then he like at some point, this is another common joke in his book, making fun of Dells, which I guess like we still do.
We so. Still do. This is why I'm saying the humor hasn't changed. Like,
yeah, humor hasn't
when he
changed.
When he does his whole like, he buys a gateway. Well, first he goes, okay, so, and like this is just really gets you in the place of where this book lives. Side note, have you ever been to a Pokemon rave? It's fucking insane. I had to get somewhere that would relieve me of the weight on my shoulders that was crushing my soul. The Pokemon rave was off the grid in MassPeth, as in you cannot take the subway to anywhere near there. It's basically thousands of Korean teens taking some form of ecstasy and listening to the most insane techno you can imagine, wearing full Pokemon costumes. Like, actually, they take this shit super seriously, which is so Asian. Like, that's where this book lives.
No, I mean, reading this, I was like, you are so, and listening to it on my Spotify app too, going back and forth, I was like, you're the most embarrassing person on earth. But I was also like, I also like get why like you kind of did become famous and like there are stuff that you do in here that like we also roast.
He doesn't really talk about his career that much, except when he gets into like the sort of influencer who's like, now I'm an influencer basically means I get to do random shit like and get paid to do it.
Yeah, it was a little like he probably thought that was boring and didn't want to write about it
because
on his
he did
gateway.
Have more of like a build up. Like he was on like wasn't he on Local Access like Manhattan TV and like had this show?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I would like to read about that.
So I think
here.
I have a memory like he was kind of up and coming as like an alternative like very like alt not like
all
stand up, but
like
more all comedian space where you're like, oh, you have a weird public access show. And I feel like I remember this maybe wasn't him, but I remember him having this like outro line in the show where he'd be like, and remember, if you never get tested, you can never get AIDS.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's Which so like defining so your grandma's going to die of AIDS. Yeah.
joke. Kind of this, you know, like Beavis and Butthead kind of, you know, evolution. Which I was like, okay, he's having fun.
And so then he kind of just like continues to more talk about like his childhood and how he became like such a fucking weirdo is like his whole mythology about himself. Is yeah. like he's like, I'm actually the weirdest person on earth, and like my dad took me to a strip club in Brighton Beach.
I mean, that story is insane.
It's pretty crazy. Maybe we'll just...
Do you want to read...
Yeah, I have a little...
Do you want to read the part with the stripper? So yeah. After his bar mitzvah, his dad, like, thinks he's gay. I guess this funny thing where he's like, most kids are fucking gay. Like, they are obsessed with their moms.
Said. And, like, I feel like I'm always meeting a six-year-old and, like, they have this high voice and are just being, like, mommy and just, like, wanting to put on costumes.
He goes, as a little kid, I was very into fashion. I made and served Play-Doh hors d'oeuvres, and I was obsessed with disco music. Not to stereotype, but that shit's all pretty gay.
And throughout the book, he'll be like, seriously, I am obsessed with, like, furniture.
And then he had an autumn-themed bar mitzvah, which is funny. I'm like, yeah. The theme being autumn?
No, and he's like, most kids would theme it, like, basketball, but my theme was just autumn. Also, even saying autumn, not like fall,
not
to be
saying
like
fall
autumn.
Is crazy gay.
So after the autumn bar mitzvah, like he really wants to just like go home and eat cake with his mom. He's like a little mama's boy, and his dad is like, no, like you need to man up. So his dad brings him to this club. He's so just like, how does my dad even know this club? He's scared. He's sketched. His dad brings over a stripper to him. She flopped her soft, real tits all over my face. She gonna fuck me right here in front of my dad? Then Martinka removed her tits from my head, turned around, put her hands on the ground, shook her ass in my face, and without warning, kicked her legs up and over me, landed her heels on the table, had my chair, and put her vagina inches from my sweet angel face. I came in my pants. I mean that sincerely. A small, circular stain of seed began increasing in size of my pant leg. Dad, I shouted to the universe. Looking back, that was probably a really creepy thing to say. Martinka looked at me upside down through her arms, then down in my suit pants. Dark blotches had formed around my dick area. She flipped her body around. Her legs floated back to the ground with grace, and she stood up back up dramatically because she was obviously a gymnast at age 13, as well as a stripper like all Russian women. He's not gay, she said to my dad, who came rushing over to look at me sitting frozen, horrified in the chair. And the car ride home was incredibly awkward.
I really love that story. I hope it's true.
It's really crazy. And I was wondering, like...
Has that happened to me? The answer is yes.
Your dad was like not, taking you to
okay,
the combat
Okay, not my dad,
zone.
But I remember in freshman year of college, if you'll think back to 2006 New York City, and I went to... Happy Valley with a fake ID, which was a club that people used to go
Honey,
to.
Honey, we used to go to Happy Valley. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
So I was at Happy Valley and I was wearing this mustard polo that was kind of my freakum dress at the time. I don't know if you remember it.
Girls, drop your freakum dresses from 2006 in the comments.
And I met this guy. We were making out. He kind of had like a bowl cut and kind of like a round face. He was like a little bigger. super hot.
And, was a fat Jew.
And I think either he was straddling me or I was. Wait, no, I think he was straddling me.
Ha. Huh. And your mustard polo.
My mustard polo. And we were like making out. And then I literally did come in my jeans.
And I seed just everywhere.
Seed everywhere. And I just spontaneously ejaculated in my dreams while we're making out on a banquette at Happy Valley. And we were like making out, and he like kind of touched my crotch and he could like feel that it was wet. And then I think he literally was just like, oh, and he kind of like backed away
backed
a little
up,
bit.
Was like, okay.
little man. Hey, little man. I'm gonna let you patch that one up.
And I kind of just like pretended it didn't happen. Even to myself, I kind of pretended. I was just like, I don't think that was coming. I still wasn't like totally sure what coming was at that point at age 18.
It's a half come.
And yeah, and then I think we did exchange like phone numbers on a piece of paper, but I don't know if I ever texted him.
After he felt your like new, freshly wet APCs.
Fresh splooge APCs.
I feel like I also hadn't heard the word splooge in so long since reading this book.
Oh yeah, this book is very splooge.
Thank you for sharing that vulnerable
sure,
story.
And if you're out there, guy.
And you're young. Oh, yeah. Also, if you're out there,
and
guy.
You're listening, hi, text me. Or don't. Let me know if you're married.
Celebrity Book Club.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell.
And when those outdoor outfits are scented, like Steven, we sell scented sweatshirts. So we put those on Shopify, and the Shopify customer service team helped us so much. And I would say we had questions at 3, 4 a.m. They were there.
For sure. And I think it's why they help turn browsers into buyers, which is something I look at. But I'm a data nerd, so
totally.
You know, that's
and
just me.
Look, if you are like so confused by the data, let me just tell you this. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. We love to hear that, right? Okay.
So if you want to manufacture true crime leggings in Guatemala and sell them in Indonesia, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase today.
That's shopify.com/bookclub. Shopify.com/bookclub.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
So he goes to Tampa, and this is like kind of gets into his mid fame. Again, he still's never like, I fired up Instagram and started posting memes. But he'll be like, and I was an internet sensation. And what happens when you're an internet sensation? You get asked to host fucking weird shit.
And he gets to judge a pregnant woman bikini contest. And if you know me, you know I love fucked up shit like this. And yeah, it went from sketchy and hot to sketchy and scary. This motel I was staying at looked like it had the ghost of 1,000 boys who'd been molested.
He has this, which is very like Upper West Side of him, is like his whole thing is just being like, dude, I can't believe you're afraid of going to like Korean barbecue than a dog fight in Queens and doing shots off a stripper. But then he's a little just like sketched by stuff.
That's
like
not
Tampa.
In Mass Path. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if it's out of New York.
He's just saying that because Tampa's famously like
sketchy. Which is
like,
again, making fun of Florida jokes.
It's making fun of Florida jokes. It's the PT Cruiser. Like, Tampa is the PT
Tampa
Cruiser
is,
of cities.
And
where it's
even,
just like,
yeah.
It's still a punchline. You can always use Tampa as a punchline.
And he has a weird night where he goes and then is being like a little just kind of like classic like guy savior, where he's like, actually the runner-up girl like was really sweet and like smart, and I like took her out for a sundae and we actually got to talking and she was like really cool. And then they go back to her house and she says like how she was like knocked up but her boyfriend left her, and then he's like ready to fuck her, and then she falls asleep and he's like, for once I did the right thing and I left her the money I made hosting the contest.
So she would have the $750, which was the prize that the winner actually got.
Which then transitions into another chapter about him being a hero, where he like saves a like dirty ass big titty deaf woman from his burning apartment building.
But then that whole story was made up. Did you get to the end of the chapter?
I did. And then they go to the like that woman's actually,
that,
house.
That part annoyed me more than anything.
Yeah, because it's like
he says he made the entire story up. This was like, the filling pages aspect of this book that I'm like, maybe talk a little bit more about how you come up with your Instagram captions. I think we could all relate to that.
This is what I'm saying about him being sketched. So he has this whole chapter about like fucking crazy ass like chicks he's dated.
Mm.
And he'll be, this is what I'm saying, this is so pre-Trump, because I feel like he like wouldn't do this now, where he'll be like, Lindsay, height 5'4", weight 120 pounds, hair dirty blonde, issues so many. Lindsay was from Sacramento, which is disgusting, but she had everything else that I wanted in a groupie. She was Jewish. She had mediocre work done, so her boobs were rock solid. I love bad plastic surgery. She had a tattoo in her ribcage that said regret nothing. And most of all, she was a legendary mess.
No, I mean, I don't think that you couldn't not, like, say how rock hard a chick's tits are now. It's just that this wouldn't be coded as, like,
Funky, liberal,
silly
hilarious.
Jewish guy.
Yeah.
This would be coded as like conservative comic now.
Yes.
Like, or just, or maybe just like more like mainstream, like middle America comic, but definitely would not be like a coastal
elite
comic.
Being like, her weight was 120 pounds.
Right.
And then, so Lindsay,
cannot
he's like,
talk about a woman's weight if you're a coastal elite.
He's like, she's so weird. And this is, he posts these like screen grabs of their texts being like, this is how weird she was. She says, you know what one of my main turn-ons is? He says, do tell. She says, abortions. And then the audiobook, he's literally...
So Sarah Silverman.
I know, he's and it's like, you think if he was being more Sarah Silverman, he would be like, this chick is crazy. But he was literally like, okay, in the audio. And he's being so like, that's actually too weird for me.
But then he's also like, it turned me on so much.
It did. And then he's like, yeah, we did like reverse fellatio boob grab.
Well, but then he goes to her house and she has all the posters of him, which is freaky.
That is freaky.
And he puts her in the dryer.
This part is so us. I entered the apartment. Everything was so normal for a 22-year-old. Not at all what I expected. The poster of a soldier kissing a girl in Paris on the wall.
How is this so us?
Think IKEA, but like nice IKEA. Classy coffee table books.
Oh, he's just being so how does she live?
Yeah, a
okay.
bowl sitting on a little kitchen table filled with pears. A relatively new flat screen. Pictures of Lindsay with her whole family looking so happy in the beach. A badass Johnny Cash poster that was purchased at an Urban Outfitters.
No, I mean, he's gay with his observations for sure.
Yeah. And then it's revealed after the Johnny Cash poster that she has posters of him.
That he calls, this girl who like stalks him, he calls her a chuckle fucker. Someone who sleeps with comedians.
Have you not heard the frame?
I guess I haven't.
Frame. Have you not heard the frame?
I haven't heard that frame before.
That phrase?
No.
Chuckle fucker? I mean, I guess we're both victims of it.
Chuckle fuckers are definitely always in my DMs. And I'm like... Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nux. Thank you so much.
I absolutely respect the chuckle fucker community.
Absolutely. So I looked up who his ex-wife was, and she's like this like plus size like activist, podcaster, girl boss.
Okay.
And named like Katie, of course.
He's also a plus size activist, girl boss.
No, I know. So that's why it makes sense. And it says they were married from 2014 to 2017.
So like right when the book was being written, but he doesn't talk about it at all.
Curious about that 3-year marriage.
That is a little curious.
Do you think it's like he broke it off because like she wasn't freaky enough for him, or like she broke it off because she was like, I've actually like, you need to get it together.
Something was changing and evolving in his life, and you know, for all the reasons we've already discussed about the evolution of culture, like I think like
he couldn't stay where he was. And so he became more of a she boss and an entrepreneur launching his wine.
Yeah.
And then I guess the wine didn't pivot or innovate enough or something, because you couldn't even find it on the way here.
And again,
it's not like it's in every bodega. Because I feel like it's not even that long ago I was seeing Bay Blasé like pretty frequently.
Definitely. You go into like any liquor store, it's like there's going to be some babe. And then I went after the gym, I go into this like wine store and it's like 11 a.m. and I'm like, and he's like, can I help you? And I'm
like, you're like, mommy needs her medicine.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I have a question. Do you have Babe Rosé? And he was like, no. But then he was trying to sell me on just like that other canned wine that's everywhere, like Underwood.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought me over to it.
No, bitch, I've had Underwood.
Like. Yeah, and I was like, I'm not going to tell him the whole story that I read the Fat Jew and this is for my podcast. I was just kind of like, oh, he was like, this is actually a really good canned wine. I kind of nodded and I was like, maybe next time.
maybe next time. I'm really busy today.
Yeah, maybe next time at noon I'll crack open an Underwood can of Pinot Noir.
Don't totally have time to yes. settle into Underwood and really like.
But so Babe,
just taste all the notes.
Babe was acquired by Anheuser-Busch.
Okay.
So he must have gotten a pretty good payout for
that. Yeah, maybe
that.
He just got this fat exit.
Fat.
And was just got like, you know, got a $200 million exit from Babe and was like, I'm good. I'm never working again.
I'm just going to like go to an island and like sleep with hookers and have them reenact scenes.
Yeah.
There's a chapter.
Good for him.
Where he's being very pro SW, sex work.
Mm.
And he has them reenact a scene from Braveheart and one leaves because she's like, this shit is crazy. Like, I'll fuck, but I'm not going to reenact a scene from Braveheart. And then one of them stays and does, and he is being like, I actually do think we had a connection. And then he tries to kiss her, and she's like, ew, no. And then he sets her up with an agent. And like, he's like, I fucking swear.
Well, this comes back to his kind of like savior role.
Yes, of the savior role.
Right. That he had with the other pregnant chick. And I think that's why he likes, you know, maybe these more fucked up chicks.
Yeah.
Because he gets to be the savior. He gets to be the hero of the story.
And he gets to be like, we're both such like fucked up people. Where at the end of the day, is he that fucked up?
No.
No, he's not.
He comes from like a super stable like Jewish family. So the reason he does talk about his childhood acting career, which was kind of interesting. He was in commercials as a kid and he scored like a Hershey's commercial.
And he becomes kind of a diva.
And then he's like, starts demanding like chicken nuggets in the dressing room for like the next commercial. A week after the Hershey commercial aired, I was cast in another commercial for a clothing company called French Toast. The day of the French Toast shoot, I was a monster on set. I was demanding loud and shitty to everyone who worked on the crew. I was like Mariah Carey at the height of her career, but with a tiny little penis. It's just, again, very much what this whole book is about. Him just always being like, I'm fucking 13 and my dick couldn't be smaller. but he gets out of the acting career because he goes in this one audition and he doesn't realize that it's like a commercial for child abuse. And he's like reading the lines way too like happily and like with too much pizzazz. And then he feels really embarrassed. And so he just doesn't want to do it anymore.
But then he also like, honestly, very meme vibes. He also gets like too high in his acting career. And then like, he's a little bit like over it too, as I got the sense.
Because wasn't going to be too famous.
Yeah.
Because he auditioned for a play with like Kevin Spacey.
And he like gets it. And
but then they wanted to be the understudy. Yeah. It's like, he almost was like, now I want the world and I can't like do this more humble
things, and I got like too excited. And then like his style, like he's very like a kid, a movie about like a kid in elementary school who like gets rich, and he's like, so I started coming into school wearing a Nintendo Power Glove, which I assume is a glove you wear to game.
Yeah, so the Power Glove is actually it's a pretty cool glove, Lily. So don't knock it.
It's
funny, I just was looking at my childhood Power Glove this weekend because It was up in Vermont. We have the NES up there with the there's a duck hunt gun. There was a gun you would shoot at the TV to go duck hunting with, and then there's also the power glove, which is basically like it's very Terminator, and it's like this big plasticky glove with all these buttons on it.
I mean, it sounds actually pretty fucking dope. No, like, I'm splooging in my pants thinking about it.
It was cool. And he wore it to school, like, after he got his first job, like, commercial, because he thought he was such a badass. He was like, I'm wear whatever I want. He was like, and it was fucking awesome.
He was like, I was in, like, Jordan's power glove. I mean, that's the thing about video games is, you know, I you may think I see it as nerdy. I really didn't. I saw the accessories and the equipment and the culture of it as this masculine.
Oh, you were like, the accessories were so fabulous.
But did I want to play?
Okay, we do have to move on to segments, but I wanted to maybe discuss a hot take that I was circulating on Twitter today that was pretty interesting that came out of this book.
Okay.
About male friendship. So, like, this book is...
Yeah, because I wanted to touch also on the bachelor party a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I think this feeds into that. So,
cool.
Because you remember when they go, they're, like, shrooming in the woods.
Yeah.
And he's like, we were all in our underpants. It was like fucking Lord of the Flies. And we're shrooming and joshing on each other. It was like fucking Brokeback Mountain and beautiful.
He's like, it's so fucking perfect.
And I, you know, this theory popped into my head that I wonder if the homoeroticism that used to be like a tenet of normal male friendship.
Jerking off.
And
doing drugs.
Teabagging.
Watching porn.
And you know, and like, you know, putting your balls in your friend's face and like all this kind of stuff. Like, I wonder if there is less of that now because of, maybe it's not causal one way or the other. Maybe they both are part of like a larger culture movement, but of the sort of commoditization of quote unquote queer identity. And so when we talk about, you know, things like Harry Styles and Timothy Chalamet and Pedro Pascal and polyamory and all these kind of like, you know, the sort of consumer lifestyleification of things that were once classically more gay coded, is that preventing straight men from being able to kind of like
teabag
and be physical with each other, because now it's like all that gayness is now so performative and like identity
and
coded
queer. And it's like, I actually 11-year-olds, if you could weigh in, because I do want to know if like 11-year-olds are like teabagging each other and then just being so like, dude, you can totally have consent to teabag me.
Right.
But then I feel like I've heard
or it's like not even like they're being so consent, but that they're just being like, well, I'm not gonna, like, teabag is actually part of queer culture. And like, I'll be part of queer culture. Like, and like, I'll like date my, like, you know, I'll date my non-binary poly girlfriend and we'll be queer and we'll be so like, you know, I'm wearing like a tank top and therefore I'm kind of like, I'm acknowledging like the culture I'm taking from, but I'm not gonna like teabag my friends because that's going too far.
I'm sure it's like different also in different parts of the country.
Right.
I still kind of think, honestly, like at the basis, I still feel like they're 11-year-olds are like jerking off together, like watching, like crowded around all in their gaming chairs, watching porn together. And maybe at 15, that's a little more, I'm wearing my tank top and I'm like dating my non-binary partner.
Right.
But I think like the boys out there are still...
They're still having that physicality with each other.
Yeah.
You say this based on absolutely nothing, but no, sure.
Well, okay. Okay. Only because I have a friend who has like a cousin, nephew or whatever. And he was like, oh yeah. Like I walked by his room while like the kids were having a sleepover. And it was like all these 11-year-old boys. And they were going to be like, they were just being like, I'm going to finger your butt and your mom.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. But, and this is kind of a modern, I would say, coastal elite teen who I think now has evolved to be a little more maybe interested in non-binary folk. And I think...
Wait, you think this teen is a queerdo now?
No, but I think it's probably like respecting like hot non-binary...
Like, is being like a totally folk. Respectful guy who is queer baiting and is wearing like high-waisted pants.
Basically. And so I think maybe it's more like both can happen now.
Right.
The duality. And maybe it's like more in the Midwest, not to be coastal. Maybe it is more just like teabagging.
But some guy did comment on my tweet. He was just like, yeah, like, it sucks. Like, now all we can do is, like, compliment each other's pant rise.
I mean, that is also true. Right. And it's like, because it's
guys
like,
only have streetwear to connect with them anymore. They can't fucking grab each other's jocks.
Right. It's like when I went to Udelco and it was like, you know, we would see, like, other boys thrift when we were teens, but, like, I had never seen, like, groups of 15-year-olds like I do now today, and it is like,
oh, like
group.
When we went in Seattle and we saw like so many TikTok yes. teens with the
and they're
cut
all and, in gloves yeah. they're all in gloves and lace and just being like, those pants are fire to each other.
Yeah,
are they, have they teabagged each other? Are they so. All going home because they all like also have their own phones? They're not like crowding around getting like one Skinamax title.
No, I mean, that's. I think that's also the democratization of access to sexual material means
Here's
that they're not having
take.
Those moments where they're all sharing a Playboy.
This is the great switch, hashtag switch. And now, like, maybe girls are experimenting with each other earlier. And now boys are just, like, talking about pant rises and respectability. And girls are actually, like, more and more fingering each other at 12.
Yeah, five even.
Lena Dunham style.
Too far.
Anyway, we're old. We don't know.
Right in. If you're seven and you're listening to this podcast and you're like, no, me and my guy friends are all teabagging each other. Let me know. Celebrity Book Club.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Fat segments.
Fat segments.
How does she eat?
How does she live? What does she wear?
I feel like the fat Jewish is literally dead. I think he's on an island somewhere.
I think he's dead. Here's what I want to say about his hair. He talks about things that like how like guys should never wear hats and how it is so pickup artist to wear a hat
and
in
yet
this book.
He has the most gimmick hairdo.
I know. And it's like just the top bun with the shaved head. It's so disgusting and gimmick. And is like for so a girl to be so like, ew, I hate your hair. And then for him to make like a ridiculous joke and neg her.
And then she's just like, he's so confident. I don't know what it is. Ugh, I want to fuck him.
Yeah, she's like, he's so disgusting. Why am I so horny?
I mean, he
him?
Definitely figured that out.
Like, yeah, so.
But yeah, what is he? I mean, so he wears, it's like if he were alive today, I feel like
yeah,
he,
rip.
I feel
rest
like
in
he,
power,
I feel
fat
like he'd
Jew.
Be pretty Aimé Laurent Duret because he's so like, I'm like New York and I'm into like fucking hipster shit. Yeah, I'm a fucking hipster douche canoe.
The phrase, dude. Like, I literally think he's wearing an Aimé Laurent Duret.
Like cropped, like corduroy
jacket. But it's like corduroy is literally with like a pattern of a man on a canoe holding a dog, like a pleasures jacket or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say it's like the most gimmicky of the streamer stuff. And then he's like, yeah, I'm wearing a gold tracksuit because why the fuck not?
Yeah.
And my small dick can hang loose in it.
Yeah, sorry. Is there anything fucking cooler than a guy in a gold tracksuit? No, my good sir, there is not.
What does he eat? At one point, he says he's eating Indian mixed in with pasta. Which, that made me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and
very,
he's just like,
hey.
Yeah, I'm fucking disgusting.
Yeah. I'm nasty. I'm ordering 6 pounds of Chick-fil-A.
But he also is like saying vegan strip clubs have dope black bean burgers. And at the end, he's like, excuse me while I go check out the new gazpacho menu at the new strip club.
So he eats like a lot of fried
food. A lot of stuff. And he could also just be so Tao at the same time where he's like, yeah, I'm going to have the most fucking amazing ahi tuna wasabi mayo.
He's definitely not like cooking, I'll tell you that.
No. He's grub hub o'clock.
Postamato. How does he live? I mean, he's definitely like mounted. The frat screen is mounted and cocked on the wall. The dirty white couch. Lots of just like fluorescent lights, like kooky. Like
it's almost like, it's not that he does have the Sandoval house, but it's like he does have
it
so.
Is a little
it
bit
is
that.
Like he definitely has like a gold basketball.
Like reflective surfaces.
A gold sculpture of his dick that's like tie dye dipped in glitter and signed by Samuel Jackson.
A little like Bitcoin style.
Yeah, like there are crazy bongs. There's like a photo of him and fucking Kenny G framed for no fucking reason.
Defines framed photo of Kenny G. He's so just like, I mean, he's a little bit like, dude, we're getting so high and seeing Carrot Top.
Me vibes. Low bed though, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a low bed in a normal way, but in a low way.
We didn't even talk about how he jerked off on the Great Wall of China.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's funny when he has this whole mission as a child to jerk off at, like, historic sites.
And he, like, is jerking off in a porter potty at the Eiffel Tower. He's like, yeah, it smelled like diapers.
Okay, who are you in the book?
I guess we're just, like, both.
The fat Jew.
But we're also, like, a little bit his brother's friends who are like asking him to plan the bachelor party because we know like he's gonna plan the craziest party.
Who are you asking to plan your bachelor party? Because we know they're gonna be so crazy about it. I feel like we're planning your bachelor party.
Yeah.
We're talking about it for months, years.
Okay, so we are the fat Jew and
we are just like, we like to do ridiculous things.
Stuff. We're like,
we literally have a podcast where we read totally shitty books.
Oh, sorry. No one asked. And we drink fucking weird ass drinks.
We read weird drinks and we like guilty pleasures. Sorry. We're actual trash pandas.
He's also defined it. Yeah. It's like literally never been more accurate. He defines panda humor, which is Jack Black.
It's a little bit just like, yeah.
Why am I attracted to pandas? Yeah. All right. I got this book, 5 pandas. 5.
For the accuracy? For the fact that it's actually a memoir by you?
Literally, a memoir about me. It's like the most like annoying ass book. Like he succeeded. Like he made the most annoying ass book in the world.
It definitely delivers. It's an interesting time capsule and a mirror. And I think it like, I would encourage people to read it when you think that we've come so far. I think in some ways we have, in some ways we
haven't.
Right,
we really haven't.
And I think we're still circling like 2010 and maybe always will be. All right. Thanks, Club Kids, for listening.
Yeah. Best you horny pandas.
Best all you trash pandas.
Celebrity Book Club hosted by Stephen and Lily, aka the most fucking epic podcast ever made, was executive produced by this really crazy psycho bitch, Christina Everett.
Dude, I don't even know what executive producer means. Like, who the fuck is that? Like, this is some crazy man-eating, badass, coke-snorting, like, fully out of Scarface badass bitch wearing like a leather fucking jumpsuit or something.
No fucking gold chains.
She's gonna eat my dick off and it's fucking hot.
Supervising producer Zabu Zafar, who was my brother's best man. Dude, that dude can take a fucking lap dance like a motherfucking champ. And when I say a lap dance, I mean a lap dance by puppies.
Dude, this fucking dude forced me to drink a shot of whiskey every 20 seconds for 20 minutes at my bachelor party. I did have to go to the hospital and I woke up and he was jacking me off. That's how fucking cool he is. It was produced by Darby Masters, and yeah, she is a fucking master. That's right, she's into domination. She's a fucking dominatrix, which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, a chick who's the dom, like, that's her. No, she literally walks on, like, fat Russian guys with her stilettos for money, because she's that fucking cool, and she does it sober.
The most epic theme song ever made was produced by this dirtbag Stephen Phillips horse who came out of Kanye's asshole.
Dude, that guy is so fucking gay. He would suck a dead guy's dick. And I don't just mean like any dead guy. I mean like fucking Hitler.
No, I'm talking about, dude, I walked in on him at my grandfather's funeral trying to jerk my motherfucking grandpa off. How sick is that?
And yes, I know what you're thinking. Well, rigor mortis sets in. The dick is hard. You might as well try. You would be right, my dude.
Our work, of course, is done by none other than Teddy Blanks, who, actually, he's just an amazing artist.
Really fucking cool artist.
I have tons of his shit up in my penthouse. This podcast was originally created with Prologue Project when one night I let them piss all over me.
And then we got tattoos that same night of the outline of the piss on my body. Yeah, it's fucking cool looking, dude. It's actually called conceptual art. Look it up on Google if you even have the internet because you're poor.
Oh, yeah, my good sirs. If you want to fucking rate us, go to iTunes, Steve Jobs' little porn hub, if you will, and just fucking rate us. Give us one star. I don't give a fuck. I fucked your mom.
And dude, I have to make fucking rent, so go to patreon.com/cbcthepod.com and subscribe to our fucking Patreon, where there's more shit every day of the goddamn week, because I know you nasty little piggies are so hungry for the shit coming out of my ass, and I will wrap it up in tinfoil to you, put some goddamn cologne on it from duty free that I stole while my hot girlfriend was making a diversion. Yeah, that's right. She has huge tits. And then I'm going to hand it to you and you're going to like it.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.